Greetings and good morning, Western Colorado. Thanks for listening to Mountain Grown Community Radio, KVNF. This is Eric Gould. It's 8 o'clock, and here's your local newscast for Wednesday, December 12th. Energy regulators in Colorado are examining whether to increase the distance between oil and gas drilling sites and buildings such as schools and homes. They're also considering a water testing requirement that would need to be done before and after drilling takes place. Benta Berkland has more from the state capitol.
The new rules would mandate a 350-foot distance between oil and gas wells and buildings across the state. Right now, the drilling distance can be as little as 150 feet in rural areas. Matt Lepore is the director of the Oil and Gas Conservation Commission, which regulates the energy industry. He says the rule change would also create a larger buffer zone to try and minimize the effects of drilling.
Things like noise and smells and dust, operators would have to mitigate those impacts. There's also significant requirements for operators to communicate with those residents so they understand that oil and gas operations are going to be taking place and they have some understanding of what to expect.
Oil and gas drilling isn't new to Colorado, but the process of fracking is new to people living in the more populated areas along the Front Range. And towns are taking action on their own. In November, Longmont voters passed a ban on fracking within city limits.
It's short-sighted looking back at it to think that it wouldn't get to our community, but it did take me by surprise.
That's Irene Thorchin from Loveland. The retired chemist attended Tuesday's hearing in downtown Denver. She worries fracking will contaminate watersheds.
I prefer a much greater setback than 350 feet.
The environmental community also asked regulators to increase the setback distance from homes and schools. Mike Chiropoulos testified on behalf of several environmental groups, including Western Resource Advocates. He asked for a comprehensive rule that reduces the risk of exposure to hazardous chemicals.
People are talking about migraine headaches, bleeding ears, respiratory problems, asthma symptoms, fatigue, vomiting, elevated heart rate. These are really serious public health impacts, and they tend to increase in proximity to the location to the operations.
But several of the commissioners questioned how to independently verify potential side effects, and the oil and gas industry has repeatedly said the practice is safe. Tricia Schuler is the president of the Colorado Oil and Gas Association. She says the issue is complicated and is much bigger than the setback distance.
There's not going to be a simple solution that's a number, because the solution for our communities is going to involve how we do notice, how we engage, and what the best practices are that go into place in development.
And several people, including Deborah Anderson, testified that the current system doesn't need to change. Anderson is a royalty owner in Western Colorado. She worries new buffer zones could prevent her mineral rights from being developed, and says the money from oil and gas drilling is crucial for many royalty owners like herself.
It helps older people that have minerals to subsidize their income, because many of these mineral owners are not rich people. Or just average, ordinary people.
The Oil and Gas Commission is holding another set of hearings in January and hopes to wrap things up shortly after. Meanwhile, state lawmakers are expected to take up the issue when the legislature convenes. One Democratic lawmaker in the Senate is already proposing a bill that would increase the drilling distance from homes and schools to 2,000 feet, as well as mandatory water testing before and after drilling. I'm Benta Berkland at the state capitol.
A Delta County conservation group, Citizens for a Healthy Community, also testified at the State Oil and Gas Commission hearing on Tuesday. They are asking for at least a 2,000-foot setback, plus an additional 100 feet for each well drilled. In a release, CHC Director Jim Ramey said, quote, "The people of Colorado need the Oil and Gas Commission to hold industry to a higher standard and to favor protecting citizens over protecting profits," end quote. Foreclosure filings in Colorado's metro areas have fallen to the lowest level since 2007. According to a report by the Colorado Division of Housing, foreclosure auction sales in Colorado's metropolitan counties were down nearly 32% last month compared to November of last year. Foreclosure filings were down 6.5% over the course of this year compared to last. Foreclosure auction sales were down almost 20% during the same period. According to economist Ryan McMakin, declines in foreclosure filings have accelerated in recent months and have been larger than expected this year. In contrast, however, Mesa County reported a nearly 18% increase in foreclosure filings over the same period. Mesa was the only county to report an increase in foreclosure filings. Interior Secretary Ken Salazar is restricting the number of wild horses people can buy from the federal government and promises to prosecute those who sell Mustangs for slaughter. The announcement follows reports about Tom Davis, a Southern Colorado livestock hauler and horse slaughter proponent who has bought more than 1,700 horses from the Bureau of Land Management since 2009. The Associated Press reports that Davis's purchases account for 70% of BLM wild horse sales during that time. Davis has told Colorado officials that he shipped some horses out of state in violation of brand inspection laws. The Alamosa County District Attorney is investigating the transfers. Davis has said he honored contracts promising the animals wouldn't be slaughtered. The AP reports that Salazar said buyers will now be limited to 5 horses every 6 months. Larger orders must be approved by the BLM's deputy director. In addition, buyers can be prosecuted for falsifying sales applications and for indirectly selling horses to slaughter by reselling them to middlemen. Wild horses are protected by law from slaughter, but the BLM has struggled with how to manage growing horse herds, which can double naturally within 5 years if left unchecked. During winter snowstorms, Colorado National Monument may temporarily close the upper section of Rim Rock Drive to all traffic to make clearing routes safer for plow drivers and visitors. Temporary closures may be a few hours to a few days, depending upon the duration of the storm. Once the storm has subsided, Upper Rim Rock Drive will be plowed, sanded, and cleared within 24 hours. More information on the monument's winter closures can be found on the park's website. The Powderhorn Mountain Resort will open for the ski season on Saturday. According to the Grand Junction Daily Sentinel, Powderhorn will have at least lift number 1, called Take 4, open on Saturday at 9 a.m. The Sentinel reports that General Manager Darren Cole said that the recent snowfall and an anticipated storm this weekend led to the decision to open the resort. Cole said, quote, "We got about a foot out of the last storm Monday night and the night before, so we're in pretty good shape," end quote. The Sentinel reports that the opening was delayed from Thursday when early snow conditions simply weren't sufficient to provide a safe and enjoyable experience. The weekend will feature the opening day Superheroes Party and the Telemark Skier Magazine Suds and Skis Telemark Tour, which includes a band and a showing of the movie Let's Go at the Sunset Lodge. Ticket prices will depend on how much terrain is open on Saturday. The Mesa County Libraries are helping local underprivileged families this holiday season with giving trees. The Grand Junction Daily Sentinel reports that the Christmas trees are decorated with gift requests from Mesa County residents. They're located at the library's central branch, as well as branches in Clifton, Palisade, Fruita, and DeBeck. People can choose a tag from the tree that represents a gift wish, then bring the gift back to the library to be given out. The Sentinel reports that some wishes include Lego sets, Nintendo games, children's dolls, and warm clothing. And that concludes your local newscast for Wednesday. For KVNF Mountain Grown Community Radio, I'm Eric Gould. Have a great hump day, and thanks for listening.